Gracious God, we are thankful for your words, for your encouragement found in them, for how they shape and mold and speak to us and help us work through those times when we feel like we can't or we won't. It's not possible. But what if it is? And so, Lord, we thank you for these, your words from the gospel, as we stop and consider them in our service. Speak to our hearts and our minds. It's in Jesus' name we ask this together. Amen. Today's text is very brief. Only a couple of verses from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 40 through 42. And while the temptation is to say, short passage, short application, I think you will find that what Jesus is saying in this text to be powerful and to be deep. It's found on page 844 in your Pew Bible if you wish to follow. It's Matthew 10, 40 through 42. Today I will be reading from the New Revised Standard Version, which will be very similar to what you have in the pews. Listen and hear God's word for you today. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. The word of the Lord. Let us pray together. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for your word, for what it means to us, what it speaks to us, how it molds and shapes us. Help us to linger as a congregation and as people over these words, to consider them, and as we consider them, to encounter you with them. It's in Jesus' name we ask this together. Amen. Like I said, short passage, but deep meaning. I wonder, as we begin our reflection and our thoughts about it, I wonder how you might answer these questions. Does hospitality require a reward? What does it cost you? What does it really cost you to be welcoming? These are questions whose answers reveal to us, when we stop and we think about them, how seriously we take the missional nature of Jesus in our lives. Matthew 10 is often referred to as the mission of the 12, or the sending of the disciples. In this chapter, as you probably remember, Jesus sends his disciples out in groups of two to, quote, the lost sheep of Israel. The purpose of their journey in Christ's mind is clear. They are to preach the kingdom is near. They are to give instructions. They have been told in this chapter how to serve, how to respond to persecution when it comes, and they're told it will come. And they are given charge, it says, over illnesses and the sufferings of the people that they will witness. Perhaps what Jesus says here, as he concludes that chapter, as he's essentially ready to say, go, now go, is to invite a shift in them and in us, a shift in posture. I wonder if Jesus' words invite us toward a personal posture of hospitality and welcome that is grounded more biblically in our lives than we initially thought when we read this passage. Consider this practical example. Local pastor traveled with his church family to Israel to spend 2 weeks walking among the biblical world, encountering God in the Holy Land. He spoke with the local Israelite people who were hosting this group to learn about their culture. He talked with them about their daily needs that are presented to them, and even tried to interject his own wisdom about needs that were there that they didn't see. I think he expected, the conversation shifted more and more and more. to the ideas and the issues that he dealt with at home, his host wanting to know, what's going on in your world? And so, being a Christian, loving the people, issues of homelessness, social separation that are understood in our world became the subject of their conversations. But the people he spoke to, his host, they didn't understand. They had a hard time, he says, when he would bring up words like homelessness. Their response, their rebuttal was always, well, shouldn't people just live with families? They kept asking him, and he shook his head. As this pastor unpacked the application of there just not being homelessness there, as there is here, he noticed throughout his days and throughout his time with them that outside he would find small jars of water left out in front of public homes. They were just sitting there, small jars of water. Unsure about what these jars represented and suspecting a cultural touch point, he asks his host family, why are there jars sitting here? What's going on? The jars, he was told, were put there by the local families of the community. Excuse me. When a traveler, he learned, entered the community and they were thirsty, this water, which was, of course, and is a precious commodity in a Middle Eastern desert-like climate, was offered as a welcome to anyone who would need it. There were no expectations of being paid for it. If the jar was empty, then it was filled. I wonder if that type of welcome is what Jesus is speaking about today in this passage. Not a political or a social welcome only, but an acknowledgement of the needs of the people to provide without fanfare or without maybe anyone even noticing. As we begin to consider the text, we need to see how Jesus forms his message that closes out the sending out section. First, Jesus speaks to the disciples in our text about being welcoming or receiving a welcome from another person. It's central to what he's saying here. It happens over and over again. The word occurs 6 times in 2 short verses, 2 densely packed verses. Clearly, as I'm talking to you this morning, the effect of being outside in nature is wreaking havoc on my throat right now. So I apologize, as I'll have to get something to drink periodically. Jesus wanted his listeners and the disciples to hear his emphasis on the welcoming concept as they decided, how are we going to unpack it? It's the last thing he tells us before they go out. How are we going to take this idea with us? Looking into the Greek helps us gain a more precise and colorful picture of what Jesus is inviting us to emulate as a church moving forward. While primarily welcome is used in Matthew in this way, it does get sprinkled around the New Testament, and it helps us provide color to what we're hearing. First, Acts 22 and Philippians 4 tell us this posture is an act of, quote, receiving from another person. In both of these passages, the welcoming idea is almost a subservient or deferential, deferring to another individual rather than having to be the primary actor or action in the encounter. James 1 uses it again, translates the verb as to acquire a knowledge. Welcoming, involving learning something about the other person who you welcome, taking an interest in them. Luke 2, we know Luke 2, another occurrence, welcoming as taking into one's hand something, an intimacy in the act. And finally, Matthew 10 translates this verb as to grant access or to receive kindly. There is a choice that we are presented with to allow that other person to be close to us, not just physically, but emotionally. As we hear these additional meanings of the concept of welcome, we begin to see that welcoming another into your midst, as Jesus wants them to do in this passage, as they're sent to the Gentile world, to the lost sheep of Israel as well, is not just to hold the door open, or to look politely, or to say good morning, or in our case, wave at each other across the sanctuary saying, peace be with you. Instead, it is an intimate, personal encounter that you choose to perform that grants that other person space in your life to dwell. It is deliberate. It is patient. It is choosing to be secondary, not for appearance's sake or to look good or to have praise heaped upon you, but because you understand the value of the other person in God's eyes, and you would rather they experience the blessing than you have it. You choose differently. You invite them close to your heart. It's very countercultural in our world, and it's very important in Jesus' world. This is the commended posture Jesus asked the disciples in Matthew 10 and us now to follow. It is central to their commissioning. It speaks alongside any words they'll have of the gospel as they're preaching the gospel. This posture will speak almost as loudly, if not louder, to some people in their world. As we practice or receive this form of welcoming, the reward is received or presented. We can't get around that in the text. But interestingly enough, although it's said several times as well, the idea of reward, it was never labeled as what it was by Christ, was it, when he sent the 12 out? He never said, and you will have X given to you. We would think that as the disciples, I would think, as the disciples are sent out to that unfamiliar missional world and work that Jesus is asking them to participate in, that that they would want a necessary and clear incentive to do it. I suspect I would if I was in their shoes. They, like we, would want clarity. What awaits us if we are faithful? The silence about the nature of the reward seems a bit out of place if you notice the other times in the gospel. We hear Jesus speak in other places clearly and concisely about an inheritance that cannot wither or rot or be taken away from his followers. Add to that the number of times we also read about the eternal nature of God's reward to us throughout the scriptures, and the promise of those who are faithful receiving something is strong. We are not given that here, though. Christ is silent about specifically what happens. He never says it's eternal. He never says it's untarnishable. He doesn't say much. He just says, here, you will be rewarded. Jesus is mysteriously silent. And as you can imagine, I think that is a deliberate choice that Christ makes in our text. The notion of the reward suggests that the act of welcoming, though, by not being labeled and not being given, does not go unnoticed by God. From the root word for wages, what Jesus is saying here, the wording he is using, what he offers, equates to receiving the appropriate compensation for a particular decision or action in Greek. Note in that definition both a choice and a decision, an action. Or as I said last week, formation and decision. If we are welcoming as our text calls for it, then God notices. And God acts in direct proportion to care for us. Going all the way back to the beginning, the jars get filled mysteriously. But it is God who fills our souls because we are welcoming and generous in this way. We find ourselves filled with so much in our daily living that's around us that finding space to be welcoming, to participate in this way, it can seem hard, if not impossible. The reward might be a holy form of compensation, but do I even have the room in my day to receive it with all I've got going on and around me? But we have been gathered, Jesus says. He started the chapter with it. We are then sent out to care for the lost sheep and receive from God the people who need our attention. Our faithfulness to live in this manner reflects back to the community how we were once welcomed by the triune God of grace who sent Christ for us. And so, I wonder, what does that practical welcome look like for you? I wonder about this, especially as the COVID-19 pandemic continues to ebb and flow around our community and our country. Wouldn't a welcoming posture, a posture that relies on God to provide a reward that only God understands, be a powerful witness in a world where positivity and faith and hope are not always offered? Let us pray. Loving God, we are thankful to be your people again today, gathered in your way, sent for your mission, encouraged and blessed by you. Loving God, as we continue to worship you this morning, we ask you to be present in our lives so that as we leave this place and go into our world, back into our homes, we can offer this welcome, this hospitality to the people around us who need it. For there is great need in our community for what you offer. Give us the encouragement. Remind us that you notice. And we will be those people. So in Jesus' name, we ask this together. Amen. In response to God's word, will you stand with me as you are able? As we confess in one voice the truth we have come to believe. Let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And as we come to continue in our worship time, before we share joys and concerns to participate in the ministry of the church, where have you, church family, seen God at work? Maggie.
Last week I shared with you how Sue Man had gone to baptize the young man. Mm-hmm. This week he tells me that the same young man came to him and asked him, can we raise money? Can we do a fundraiser to raise money for people to work? And so Sue Man told him, if you're willing to do it, I'll support you and I'll be back in.
Thank you for sharing your story with us, Maggie. Or should we say thank you for sharing Suman's story. It is exciting to know that the young man that he baptized last week has worked to raise funds, and they have fed 150 people with the funds that he has raised, knowing especially how difficult that is in Nepal right now. Where have you seen God at work? Julie.
Back to Nepal.
Nepal.
Yeah. I got a message.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Showing a group of young Christians who, you know, were new to him, and how difficult it is for them right now, but they so appreciate our prayers from this church.
It is good to hear. Thank you for sharing your story with us, Julie. It is good to hear from Dipendra in Nepal and this group of young Christians who has sort of entered his sphere, and we know he will do great work with them. We will keep them in our prayers today as well. Nancy. No, unfortunately. I only know what I shared with you in email, which was, as you may recall, Linda may have had a minor stroke. Last I had talked to her, it had not been officially confirmed, so I don't want to say she did or she didn't. May have is probably all I should say at this point. She's at home recovering. I honked at her across the Walmart parking lot, and she sort of looked around like, you know, as I would do if you honked at me in the Walmart parking lot. But she is well, and a little irritated, of course, by not getting the answers quickly, as, again, I would be as well. So nothing new to add to it, but please keep her in your prayers. Thanks for checking in on her. Jennifer, where have you seen God at work, dear?
Thunder rolling in, we were just waiting for the monsoon to drive.
It did fit perfectly, that the lectern that Bert made you. Thank you for sharing the story with us. Yes, we did have a lot of Nepal jokes. No one fell down this time, though, in the mud. And we didn't have that happen. But so praise Jesus for that. But it did feel a lot like, not just in the hard work, but I think also, and I think you would agree with me, dear, it was also in the camaraderie, in the community. We were hot. We were tired. I don't know anybody who really wanted to be there. But it was so good to be there. So thank you for sharing with us this morning, dear. Where have you seen God at work? Bert, I saw that hand kind of flutter in there. I wasn't sure.
Yeah. I learned a lesson this week about first fruits. I've got a pile of driftwood. So it's big. My wife was testing that. She's always tripping over it. Anyway, some of them are prettier than others. So, lectern is made out of driftwood. Locust driftwood is hot. And it's my top shelf driftwood. You know, people have a top shelf with the expensive booze on it.
Amen. Thank you for sharing with us, Bert. You told me that story yesterday, so matter-of-factly sitting on the decking there. It was awesome to hear it again. We do appreciate hearing that God wants the first fruits of our lives. And I personally, I will say, really enjoyed, was really blessed by hearing the vulnerability you offered in that story of, but Lord, I want to do this. But Bert, I want that. But Lord, I want to do this. But Bert, I want you to do that. And I think that's a powerful lesson. So thank you for sharing your story of first fruits with us today. Where have you seen God at work? I thank you for sharing all of these stories with us this morning. Nancy reminds us to keep Linda in our prayers today, certainly. I spoke with a number of your shut-ins and folks who haven't been able to be at worship right now, whether it's through the pandemic or because their health does not allow it right now. There are a number of them, and so I encourage you to reach out to people you do not see in the room today with you. Call them. Some are in pain. Some aren't feeling well. Some are discouraged. Call them. And be present in their lives. They would appreciate your ministry. Do you have joys and concerns to share? We will lift up our congregation together, but do you have joys and concerns specifically to share today? Steve.
I have an update to share with everybody regarding our son Peter and all the prayers you have been offering for him. The latest is that after wearing a heart monitor for 30 days, all of his results were normal. So he's spoken with his cardiologist, and the next step is to implant a monitoring device just inside the skin above his chest and go for some more in-depth analysis. So he's going to be consulting with a physician that does that placement in the coming weeks. I also want to share an update regarding my parents. I mentioned this to Jay last week, that they are settling into their new normal. My mother is doing well in her care facility. My dad had a chance to see her in person. That helped immensely. unfortunately, that the hits just keep on coming.
All right.
I got word this last week that my sister Heidi, who lives in St. Paul, was permanently laid off from her position at the Minneapolis Institute of Art after 35 years. And is now without a job in the age of COVID in a field where, unfortunately, museums and institutes still haven't really opened.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Thanks, Steve, for the updates. We will keep your sister Heidi in our prayers as a congregation, being permanently laid off after 35 years. We will keep your parents continually as they settle into their new normal in our prayers. And we're glad to hear an update from Peter. I know many people have been concerned and wondering what's going on. We will pray as he gets ready for this internal device to be implanted, that they find out what's going on and that they resolve this issue for him. Thank you. Are there other joys and concerns? Tiffany also mentioned, I got to look at my own notes, mentioned before our service started, to keep her father in our prayers. He's in the hospital right now. And so we will keep him in our prayers today. Are there other joys and concerns to share? Then let us be the church. Loving God, we are glad that there is no need that is beyond you. Whether that is a physical need where we need revelation and understanding as to what is happening in the situation, whether it is emotional support, not being able to be together, feeling alone, isolated, hopeless, discouraged, we thank you that you are present there. Whether it is a need that seems too great for us, we don't know even how to speak of it. We don't know what to say about it. We are thankful that the Spirit prays for us, prays with us, helps us with those words. Loving God, we are thankful that for this congregation, for the camaraderie that we shared together yesterday, we give you praise for the strength and the willingness of the people to be together. We pray for Linda continuing to recover following this episode. And that as she gets information and understanding as to what is happening in her life, loving God, watch over her. Watch over all of those right now in our congregation, our family life, who are struggling, whether it is with a physical pain, whether it is with the social pain, unable to be together. Whether it is clear the need or whether it is still vague, but a gnawing, nagging sense that something isn't right. Lord, loving God, be present there. Heal and restore. We thank you that you continue to be at work in Peter's life. We're glad for initially the normal results that he received from wearing a heart monitor. And now as they look into implanting a small device to continue to determine and ascertain what's happening, what caused his issues, loving God, be with them, be with Peter, his family. Give them encouragement and strength. It can be difficult, we know, not to have the answers that are needed when we seek them. Watch over Peter today. We think of Steve's parents settling into their new normal and the emotional difficulty that can bring. Glad to hear, though, that they got to see each other for the first time in this pandemic, giving their struggles and their situations. Be with them. And we think of Steve's sister Heidi today, permanently laid off in St. Paul after 35 years. And the discouragement that certainly brings, the anxiety, the unknownness. But we are glad to have a God who is known, a God who is present, a God who does have a purpose and loves us and cares for us. So be with Heidi today. Watch over her and her situation. We think of Tiffany's father as well, who has been in the hospital this week, and we pray that you would watch over his health, restore him quickly, so that he can return to the life he knows, the family that he loves. For each of these needs, for the joys that we have, the affirmations we can offer to answer prayer, the way you exceed expectations, we give you thanks. And as we continue to worship you as a church, as we continue to follow after you as people, we trust you when we lean upon you. Now hear us, Lord, together, your children, as we offer you the first prayer, which you've taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.